I'd like for you to stand. We'll get into the message tonight quickly. I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, all the way back in the Old Testament. Numbers, Deuteronomy, and chapter 6, wonderful scripture that is found here. All of this down to verse 15, we won't read all of it, but we'll read the first four verses of scripture. We want to want you to consider yourselves tonight. I think this message applies to everybody. It's more of a Wednesday night sermon than a revival sermon, but that it will revive you if you'll get a hold of it.
That's right.
It'll save your family.
Amen.
Someone once said that as goes the home, so goes the church. Yeah. As goes the church, so goes our nation.
Amen.
It's not that we need a regime change up there.
Right.
We need it in our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, violence and judgment must begin in the house of God. If it doesn't
Amen.
Begin there, it won't begin anywhere else.
Amen.
The Bible said in Deuteronomy 6, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Mm-hmm. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, mm-hmm. and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, mm-hmm. and that thy days may be prolonged. Mm-hmm. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Mm-hmm. Father, we come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus. And dear God, we realize it. Lord, we need a move in our nation. But
yes,
Lord, until there's a move in our church, and personally in our homes, nothing will happen. And dear God,
yes,
we read a prophecy and all that you're saying, and we really clearly, we can't see America in any of it, God. That either means that we're so small and insignificant in the end times that you can't use us, or we don't even exist. And God, you said to Israel here that you would prolong their days if they would turn to you. If their families would give their heart to you.
Yes, Lord.
And God, we pray tonight that you would do a work in my heart and in the hearts of those that are here. No matter if we're young or older, no matter what our age is, that God, you would send revival to our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
That you would strengthen our homes and our families, dear God. And Father, we could be what you'd have us to be here in these last days. We'll give you praise and give you honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
So we need to understand, I'm talking about tonight, not how to change our nation for God, not how to get a regime change up there, although we need one, I believe, and you can say amen to that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what happens there, if our homes is where God wants them to be.
That's right.
If mom and dad and grandpa and grandma is living the word of God before their children, God said he would prolong our land.
Yeah.
The Bible tells you and I that when we as children of God turn from our wicked ways and we pray that we'll hear from heaven and God will heal our land. But we got to hear heaven first. We got to ask God to come into our lives. I want to quote you, or not quote you tonight, I want to read some statistics that I've got here, some things that it broke my heart when I read them to our church the other day.
That's in Jesus.
This happens every day in America. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. 1,000 unwed teenage girls become mothers. Mm-hmm. 1,106 teenage girls get abortions. Every day, 4,219 teenagers contract sexually transmitted diseases. Mm-hmm. 500 adolescents begin using drugs. 1,000 adolescents begin drinking alcohol. Every day, 135,000 kids bring guns or other weapons to school. Every day, 3,610 teens are assaulted. 80 are raped. 2,200 teens drop out of high school. And every day, 6 teens commit suicides. We need to understand that this is our kids. This is our land, the land of America, the land of the free. Now, I love our nation, and I love what God, where God has put me in the state of Tennessee and in the place that we have. I don't think that there is any better place than where God has put us to live. But we see the lack of morality, and we see all that is out there. And we look at it, and we say, well, it's just the end times. It's a sin that is abounding. But the Bible tells you and I that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds.
That's right.
The Bible said that the darker it is out there, the lighter it is in here. And that you and I can shine brighter when it's dark out there than we ever could. If we had a light out there. As children of God, we need to understand what has happened in here. I've read years ago, and I wrote it down because it's got such truth in it. The philosopher Socrates said this, "Could I climb the highest place in Athens, I would lift my voice and proclaim, 'Fellow citizens, why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of your children, to whom one day you must relinquish it all?'" Listen to this scripture here tonight. God is saying the same thing. He is saying to you and I that we need to get our minds and our hearts off the world and back on God. We need to get and hear the Word of God in our homes, in our lives, that we might be changed unto God. We need to understand that we can turn our nation around. We can turn the things around that we see, but we're going to have to turn to God ourselves. And quit playing church. And quit playing Christianity. And quit playing the things that we are. And it's good, and we do it, and we serve God when things go right. And we serve God when we need Him. But then we tend to back off, and we forget that this is His land. This, we're His people. We're called to His glory. The Bible tells you and I that we need to do that. Listen, here in Deuteronomy, thousands of Jewish people had joined together. And they were listening to the Word of God. And God was telling them that when you come into the land, which I've already given you, that you'll have to battle for, but the victory's already yours. When you come into that land, He said, "This is what I want you to do." But you need to understand, He does not tell them here to increase their spending. He does not tell them here to change their order of government. He doesn't tell them here to stockpile the weapons to take care of themselves or to build up the military. He doesn't tell them to do anything like that. He tells them to strengthen the family, to strengthen the home, to gather together and learn what God is wanting them to do. And that's what God is doing here. Now, beloved, we need to understand tonight that the children in our home, if they don't come to Christ, they'll go to hell.
That's right.
We need to understand that no matter what we think of them or how good that they are, if they don't know the Lord, if they don't have that relationship with God, if they've not accepted Him as Lord and Savior, they won't go to heaven. There is no way. We need to see that and understand that. And as children of God, we have not lost people that need to see our lives. And they need to see the glory of God about us. That we are different than they are if they're lost. That they see something that is real in us, that's tangible, and that we're living the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. And when they see that, they'll be changed. Our children will be changed. That is what God is talking about here.
That's right.
Why the emphasis on the family? Because the family is the foundation of society. Listen, it's not our government that sets our standard. It's our family that sets our standard. It is we living upon the Word of God, trusting in the Word of God, doing what God would have us to do. The Bible says here that a dad will tell his children how to be saved and lead them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then that child will grow up, have children of their own, and they will lead them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But that is what God is telling us here. I want to tell you some things, and I want you to remember these things. And I'd like for you to keep in your heart and your mind the things that are real in your life. Number one is you and I have to teach our children to receive the Lord. Can you say amen to that? The Bible said in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now to the Jewish person, this is as familiar as John 3:16. The verses that we're reading here through verse 14 is called the Shema. The Shema, listen, is something that is important. It is something that every Jewish boy and girl learned. It's the first scripture that they would learn to quote in their lives. Just as we teach them John 3:16, they taught them Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. They would continue it with chapter 11 and a few verses there. And in Numbers 15, they would continue it again. And those verses together is called the Shema. It is the Shema that was in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is what they would read when Israel would join together in Christ's time and throughout the hundreds of years. But in Christ's time, when they would go to the temple to worship, the Mishnah would be pulled out. And read from there would be the Shema of God. It would be these verses. Morning and evening. It was the prayer they prayed of a morning. It was the prayer they prayed of night. It was what set the foundation of Israel in all that they did. The Lord our God, it says, is one Lord. And that's what we teach our children. There is one God. That's what he says here. One God, the Lord our God. There's only one. And there is a God. Can you say amen? And he's only one. The verse goes on that the Lord is one, the Lord our God. Listen, that God is Lord. We teach our children not only that there's a God, not only that he's the only God that is there, but we need to understand that this God is Lord. He's Master. And he's not someone that we give back our life to and we close the doors on the rest.
Amen.
It is somebody that we humbly and joyfully and willingly say, God, take my mind, my emotion, my wills, everything about me, all that I have, and I give to you. That is what we do. The Bible said there's a fourth thing, that God is to be our Lord. That, listen, he is the one that is over everything in our life. He comes through that. The responsibility of every parent in this building here tonight is not simply to provide for your family and provide physically and financially for your family.
That's more. That's
right. I know a lot of Christian men that do that, that never open the Bible in front of their family. They're hard workers, good men when it comes to providing financially for their family.
Come on, brother.
But my goodness, your family can have a new car every year, but go to hell in the end.
Amen.
We need to, as children of God, understand that in revival, we need to come back to the place that we need to be and trust the living God. Just say, God, listen, I want to be the man of God that you wanted to be. I want to be the dad for these children and these grandchildren. I want to be the mother that stands up and teaches them the Word of God. And that is what God is saying here, that we need to do as children of God. The Bible here compares to this race that we run as a Christian. It says your children's children, and on a third generation. It's like a three-man baton race, a relay race, where you exchange the baton. One runner runs so far and changes the baton. Another changes the baton. We need to understand that that's the race that God is outlining here to save your children, to strengthen your family. He's telling you and I that as you run around the track, this relay racer will run hard carrying that baton with him. But there comes a time that he has to hand over that baton to the next runner.
That's right.
And the next runner will hand over the baton to the next runner and so on. Let me tell you, that is what God is comparing to our race. Seldom is the baton dropped in the middle of the race. Seldom is it dropped when that runner is running the last leg, though they may be tired, they may be exhausted. Seldom is it dropped. It is dropped when they exchange that baton with the one in front of them. Listen, the baton is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you and I, as family, we'll live for the Lord, we'll serve the Lord, but there comes a time we will die, and we have got to give that baton to the next generation. It's a generational thing that we glory in who God is, that they see something that is real in our life, and they carry that baton further and further for them.
Amen.
I see that here. We see it in this church. I've known you guys seems like 60 years. Some of you are real old. I remember Brother Morris, when I first come, you didn't have hardly as much gray. You was like me then. 20 years ago, I guess. I don't know how long. My age, you rubbed off on me, brother. But I saw this young man that I saw years ago, Derek, come up to age.
Amen.
And I saw how the baton was handed over to Derek. And I saw as he began to take more and more responsibility in the church, willfully doing, wanting to do something for God.
Amen.
And then we saw these little girls.
Right. Yeah.
Man, they have to turn into ugly teenagers, don't they? No, these haven't. We saw these beautiful little girls being raised in, and day by day, week by week, just as he was, Derek is handing over that baton to them. And they're growing in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we saw not too long ago when they came and gave their heart to Jesus Christ. And that baton was handed over. And now the third generation is going. And the fourth generation, if time lasts, is going. Oh, my goodness, makes you want to shout, Brother Morris. Thanking God for what God has done in our family. Oh, I remember my grandparents were dead. When I was born, I was raised late. Mom was old, daddy was older. And I was just, my brothers whipped me. I had three dads. Now, buddy, you turn out good when you got three people whipping you all the time. Amen. And they did. And I thank God that I had a direction. But I remember going to my grandmother's house, and she was so faithful. Didn't feel like it, but she'd go to church no matter what. And I remember going to her house time and again. And every time we went, she would have that Bible open, and she'd have her glasses on and a magnifying glass trying to see the words. And she said, Rudy, read this for me. I can barely see it. And oh, she set the example. And Daddy and Mama do the same thing. Daddy didn't get saved until I was 12. But buddy, he got saved. And his life changed. And I remember when it changed and how that he would teach me about the Word of God. And how that he would lead me to church and he would guide us. And I remember the thousands of times that I saw him, a fourth grade education. He was on the kitchen table and he'd have his Bible open. And I've got that Bible and I preach from it on Father's Day. And he would cry, and pages are just marred, brother. And just marred with these tears. And he'd have a study Bible out with him. And he'd have the concordance and a Bible dictionary to learn the words that he didn't know.
Yeah.
And oh, I've seen him read that Bible over and over, and he's scribbled all in it.
Praise the Lord.
And I wouldn't take $1 million for it. It's not for sale.
Praise the Lord.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. One day he handed that baton over to his son, Rudy. And thank God, I have children, and we raise them up the best we knew how in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
Right.
And then I tried my best, and we tried our best to hand them over to them, and they are now handing them over to theirs. My grandchildren now. And beloved, one day they'll be great-grandchildren. And if time lasts, but if it doesn't, thank God we carried the baton. Thank God we had a generation after generation that's known the Lord. They don't go to hell, thank God. They're going to the glories of heaven.
Amen.
The Bible says you'll know as you are known. I don't know what you believe in that, but buddy, I believe we'll see him and know him up there.
Amen.
What a glorious time. But beloved, you and I need to understand, if failure occurs, we need to understand it doesn't occur at the beginning of the race, usually after the baton's already firmly in the hand.
Yeah,
it begins in the exchange, the generational change between one to another.
Right,
we need to say, and this needs to be said. Brother Rudy, I've heard people say, Brother Rudy, we've raised them up, and now they're not just not doing what they would be. I believe they will.
Yeah.
I believe if you run your best, you made mistakes. Absolutely. We made mistakes. I wish I could go back.
Yeah.
And do some things differently.
Mm-hmm.
But beloved, as children of God, we need to understand that God, thank God, forgives that and He blesses that.
Yeah.
But they say that 99.5%, almost 6.6% of children, when they reach a certain age, it may be 14, it may be 20, it may be even 30, that they will have a time of rebellion. I believe in this life, if you've been saved for any length of time, you had a time of rebellion. I did. I had about 4 weeks. I didn't have long. Daddy wouldn't let me. Oh, I'm serious. Oh, my goodness. Daddy wouldn't let me go with people I wanted to go with. He said, no. He said, I've heard they drank. You're not going with them.
Yeah, come on.
They don't come to church. You're not going with them.
Yeah.
You say, brother, they can come to church and still not. No, yes, sir, they can. Daddy, he found that out. He knew who was real.
Amen.
I said, Daddy, I want to go. You can't go, son.
Yeah.
I'd get so mad. I'd go outside and kick a tree, literally. I wanted to have fun, I thought.
Yeah.
But oh, today, thank God for a dad from that.
Yeah.
Thank God for a mama that stood behind Daddy and didn't fuss about what Daddy was doing.
Amen.
Thank God for that family that raised me
in the admonition of the Lord.
Right.
And beloved, I tell you tonight, thank God I'm on the way because of that upbringing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I got stories I could tell you, some you wouldn't even believe probably. But how Dad would watch over me. He bought me a car when I was 16. I drove that car, and well, Daddy followed me a lot of places in that car. And honey, when I found out that he was following, Mom told me, said, "Honey, your daddy's with you. You need to understand that he's following you."
Yeah.
And I saw him one day when I was about to get in some trouble, and I fled that trouble. But you know, after that, I always thought, "Daddy's watching me. I better not do it. I can't do it, boys. I can't go there." And I told him, I said, "Daddy will hear about it, and I'll get in trouble." Yeah. He said, "Oh, you fear?" I had the best relationship with my daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We went hunting, and we went fishing, and we done everything. I feared him in one way, but oh, I respected him with everything I got.
Amen.
Because he lived what he preached.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me to do one thing and him do the other.
Yeah.
He was faithful to before me and before the things that I can do. We need to understand that the fumble occurs. And the failure occurs if the generation does not look back and respect the person following after.
Amen.
They must respect them.
Amen.
They must do those things.
Yes.
That is what God has called in your life, in my life. That's what He wants to do. The Bible says that we need to teach our children to receive the Lord.
Right.
I thank God that I went back several times.
Yes.
And I listen, I do my best to win souls. I was praying there tonight.
Yes.
I said, "God, I can't be at the church. I pastor." And I said, "Lord, bless them tonight.
Yeah.
Bless the youth that are meeting downstairs.
Amen.
Bless the adults that are meeting upstairs. Listen, I am diligent to try to win. We won three last week and a half.
Amen.
We won three of our teenage girls to the Lord.
Amen.
Can you say, God, praise the Lord?
Yeah.
We won them to the Lord. And I'm diligent and I try to be. And God, help me to be more diligent to win them.
Yes.
But my responsibility is firstly to my children and my grandchildren.
Amen.
I have got to win them.
Yes.
Listen, dads and moms, it needs to burn in your soul tonight.
That's right.
Your responsibility more than anything else in your life to raise that child in the knowledge of the Lord.
Yeah.
For him to be able to see God in you, no matter where you are and what you're doing.
Right.
And it's going to cost you something if that's true.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it freely. It'll cost you money to do it. It'll cost you time to do it.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your soul to do it at times. The Bible said not only are we to teach our children to receive the Lord, but we're to teach our children to respond to the Lord.
Yeah.
To respond to the Lord. Listen to what he says. Verse 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind."
That's right. Amen.
You need to teach your child the reality of God.
Right.
The importance of God.
That's right.
The Bible here tells you and I that we're not to just love the Lord a little bit.
Right.
But we're to love Him fervently with all of our heart.
Right.
Do you know what breaks the heart of God?
Yeah.
High-hearted Christianity.
Yes.
Man, that's right.
This Christianity that's lukewarm, that makes him sick to his stomach.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hates that, and we have a church world full of it today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, right.
We have a church world full of high-hearted Christianity, high-hearted singing, high-hearted preaching, high-hearted living.
Yeah.
And beloved, if you're that way tonight, you'll never pass that baton to the next generation.
That's right.
They will never have a respect for you unless you do.
Yeah.
Beloved, you need to live it wholeheartedly.
Amen.
Every day. Listen, and I'm not getting on to you. You got to raise your children your way. But I'll tell you how Dad did me.
Yeah.
And oh, my goodness. Listen, on Wednesday nights, I know a whole lot of people. They'll say, "Well, stay home. It's okay. You do your work." Well, they'll watch TV an hour and a half and then do their work and stay home from the house of God.
Yeah.
Beloved, we need to understand when the doors are open, Daddy said, "Going to be at church."
Yeah.
You don't argue. You don't say, "God, Daddy, I don't feel good." He said, "Well, you got out and had a play today, so you're going to church." Daddy wasn't harsh. He went too. He went when he was sick. He went when he wasn't sick. That's just the way he did. You realize that I was more faithful than most of you when I was still in the womb of my mother? Because she took me to church. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. I remember one time, never will forget, it was Wednesday night. They had canceled church where we went. Daddy forgot about it. We went to church. Well, we got there. Nobody showed up. Dad said, "Well, we're not going to waste it." He read a chapter of the Bible. And I was raised on the nursery, and Daddy took care of planting stuff. He said, son, get those clippers out. It's a good time to cut the house of the Lord and get everything looking good. I said, Daddy, I got work to do at home. He said, you can do that schoolwork when you get home. You should have done it before church. And buddy, we trimmed. We trimmed. You say, Brother Rudy, that ain't hard on you in school. You didn't get to stay home. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just saying this for one reason, and this is it. It wasn't hard on me at all. I went to college, and I had to have no prerequisites. I already knew what to do.
Yeah.
And I graduated college summa cum laude. I graduated college with a little more than 4.0. Now, I'm not trying to get you to think how smart I am. I'm the dumbest person in here. But I'm going to tell you something. You hurt your children not when you make them stay home to do their class. You hurt them by taking them out of the house of God.
Amen.
Because you're not fervent.
Amen.
You're not fervent. I know it ain't for, I know how you're mad at me tonight.
Come on, brother.
I know that. But look, if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of doing too much for God.
Right.
I'm going to do it.
Right.
But boy, you know what I remember? We didn't miss church. My grandchildren, the other day, they're staying, some of them staying with us now. And my grandchildren, and my daughter, I heard them the other day. It was on Wednesday night, and they were tired. And they said, Mama, can we stay home? Now, honey, I told you about that. We're going to church.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And I said, yes! The baton has been passed.
Amen.
But if that is what I'm talking about, how to strengthen your family.
True.
I'm telling you how to keep them out of hell.
True.
I'm telling you how to make it a part in their lives that they'll never leave when they're old.
Amen.
Buddy, do I tell you they'll do it?
Yes.
I'm not getting this. The Bible says I'm in a hurry. I've got 14 more boys. You know, the other day I was in church, and I was preaching, and boy, we had a good time.
Amen.
It was an hour and a half, brother. I've got a longer one tonight, so I'll try to hurry. But it was.
By the Lord, brother.
And I tell them, if we get out, we don't settle, do it, get out before 12. I tell them, I said, don't get used to this.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
The Bible says, and it tells here that we're to teach our children to respond to the Lord. How are we to teach them to respond to love the Lord fervently?
Yes, amen.
We don't let things come in place of them.
Yeah.
Would you rather them pass your grave and go to hell or not pass and go to heaven?
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. Honestly, God will help them. Yeah. I promise you that.
Bless
the Lord. You just serve the Lord and let everything else fall in the path.
Right.
And God will bless you.
Yeah, amen.
But you and I are to serve the Lord and love fervently, but we're also to love the Lord faithfully with all of our soul.
Right.
My goodness, somebody's not praising the Lord. That baby's had to cry. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Amen.
No, we're to love Him faithfully with the very core of our being.
Right.
I remember, Dad, I was washing my car, my new car. I liked it. It was clean. It was clean on Friday, but it got dirty. Went to church, able to go to church, drove it home, and I pulled it into the yard. Never again. And I started spraying it down. I was going to wash it. And I had soap on it. It had to come out. Now listen to me.
Yeah, come on, brother.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with washing a car.
Yeah.
But Dad did. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We was going to the funeral home. We had some dust on the car. And I told Mom, I said, I'm going to go wash it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And I went to wash it. I stopped and I said, Donna, I can't.
Yeah, bad.
She said, there's nothing. I said, I know, Donna, but Daddy's watching. I'm 59 years old.
Amen.
And I love my dad. I love his walk with God. I was out there washing it as a teenage boy. I was going to church that night. And Daddy said, son, you got 6 days to wash that car.
Right.
He said, why don't you get that soap? He said, better yet. He said, I'll get the soap off for you. Go on in there. You can read the Bible when you're not doing it. I didn't go read the Bible. Because I had the Bible in front of me.
Yeah.
And Daddy washed that car off and he pulled it back up where I parked it. And he said, son, I'll pay to get it washed for you Monday.
Yeah.
He said, don't do that on Sunday.
Yeah.
He said, let's honor the Lord and be faithful to the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Let's respect Him.
Praise the Lord. Right.
Please don't get wrong. I'm not a legalist.
Amen. That's right.
But there ought to be a respect for the Lord. See, we not only love the Lord, but we love Him foundationally with all of our strength.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We live and move and have our being in Him. We need to act like it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
The Bible tells you and I that if we are going to pass that baton to others and to our those that we love, that we're going to have to be real to them.
Yeah. Amen.
We're going to have to be above and beyond what others are.
Amen.
My grandkids are saying now, well, duh, so-and-so goes to church. They don't do this. Well, we do.
Right.
And this is why we do.
Right.
We serve the Lord, so we love Him fervently and faithfully and foundationally. We love Him with everything we've got, with all of our hearts. So do you realize that the Bible says that in this verse, in this part of the Shema, that the very teachings of all the prophets and all that went before that taught is found in this one verse, to love the Lord this way.
Bless the Lord.
That if we'll just do this one command,
everything
else will fall in place.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, that is what I went to Israel, and when I went to Israel, they wear, the conservatives do, and those that are Orthodox do, they wear what they call a phylactery. A phylactery is a little square box. They wear it on their left arm, and they wear it on their forehead. Mm-hmm. By the way, Shema said for them to do that.
Yeah.
It didn't literally mean for them to put it on, although they do, they were to put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was to direct their life.
That's right.
That wherever they went, and whether they went to the bathroom or not, they were to have this Shema about them and to be living for it. We did the Jesus walk and we were there. We walked 10 miles nearly a day. And I had to do it now. I've gained 40 pounds since I went. And it's just been three years ago. But anyway, we eat some of their houses. And on the outside of their houses was another little square box on the doorposts. It's called a mezuzah. You know what's found in that? The Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and strength.
Amen. That's right.
And some of the houses, most of the houses that we went into, two or three rooms, most of them, had a tremendous meal. But at the entrance to every room was a mezuzah.
Praise the Lord.
A Shema. Never forget. See, God doesn't want us just to love Him here.
Amen.
He wants us to love Him in our home that we might be able to faithfully pass the baton.
Amen.
I remember when I helped Cynthia, my little girl, I held her for the first time. She was all white and chalky and everything. She's the prettiest thing in the world to me. Son, she could cry. It takes after her mom. But she could just laugh. She'd scream. And she'd done that for about a year and a half. Literally, I'm serious. That's my life. But she was there and she was screaming and I was shaking. And I said, what do I do with this thing? My goodness, never had. I still don't throw our little kids. I still don't like to hold them. I'm sorry. I just don't. Let them get a year or two, and I'll hold them, and we'll play, and I'll get down the board. Oh, but there she was, and I realized that she has an eternal soul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I look at these little babies.
Right.
There's a time they weren't. Mm-hmm. God knew who they were. Mm-hmm. God knew when they would be born, who they were to be born to. They're His heritage.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
But there will be a time. There will never be a time again that they are not.
That's right. That's exactly it.
That little child will live somewhere in eternity.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
That's right, brother. Yeah. Surely.
Say, Mom, Dad, that's their choice. Let me tell you about their choice.
Mm-hmm. Praise
this has happened to me. I pastored in Sparta when I was a young man. I was in my 20s, early 20s. I pastored in Sparta for 9 years. I was walking the streets one day, and I walked to this house, and I knocked on the door. A lady came to the door, and I invited her to church. And she said, I won't be there. A little girl come up behind her and was standing there. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, we'll come. I'm sure you know some people in our church. The church is right down the road. And I said, we'd be happy to come. We have a great children's church. We have a lot of young people. And they have fun, but they'll talk the Word of God.
Yeah.
She said, if I don't go, she's not going. And she said, you're probably one of those that feel I'll go to hell if I don't give my heart to Jesus. And I said, well, that's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, my dad's probably there. He never accepted Christ. Are you telling me that he's in hell? I said, ma'am, I don't know his heart.
Yeah.
I know God is gracious. Mm-hmm. But I said, if he didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I said, he didn't go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not saying that. I said, God's word said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, buddy, we're not going. If my dad's in hell, and these are the words she used, if my dad's in hell, I'll go to hell to be with him.
Oh, boy.
And I said, ma'am, what about your daughter? Well, she'll be there with us. It'll be the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
the end of the story. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, I'm in a new church now. I was walking the aisle. Or walking the street, the same street, knocking on doors and just giving a tract out and say, hey, would you come to church with me? Would you come to church with us? And giving them some things about our church. And this girl opened the door. She was in her 20s. I don't know what age she had. You could tell that she lived a rough life. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm from such and such church. I said, we're on Main Street over there. We'd love to have you. I said, you'd be welcome. And she said, she cussed, and she said, I won't be at church. Mm-hmm. I said, well, let me give you a tract. Now she said, I don't want no tract. And I don't know why I thought it. I knew the house. But I said, have you lived here all your life? She said, this is my house now. I said, really? I said, where's your mom? She's dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
man. And I remembered that. I said, was she a petite lady and blonde hair? She said, yeah. She said, did you know my mom? I said, I was at this same door 30 years ago. And I said, ma'am, I invited your mama to church. And I said, she didn't come. I'm inviting you. Would you come, please? I wish I could tell you that I led her to the Lord. I didn't. But I hadn't given up on her.
Man.
I'm going to try to win her.
Amen. Yeah, brother. Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The song says, if daddy don't go, won't hinder me.
Yeah.
But yes, it will.
Mm-hmm.
Mama don't go, won't hinder me. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this song. It's not scriptural. It's not right.
Yeah.
We need to understand that God has told us to win our children to the Lord.
Yeah.
That teach them to respond to the Lord how to live a Christian life.
Amen.
But the Bible goes on and it says to teach our children to reverence the Lord. It says that in verse 2, in verse 13, in verse 24. It tells them that to fear the Lord.
Yeah.
Fear the Lord. Listen.
Amen.
Fear is not something that we think back and we say, well, you're telling me to be afraid of the Lord. In one way, yes. You know what I've heard today, and we hear it all the time. Well, it doesn't mean that. It means to reverence the Lord. Sure it does. I reverenced my dad, but buddy, I feared my daddy. He could whip like I don't know what.
Yeah, amen to that.
Woo! I tell you what, buddy, if I'd had wings, we'd have flew or when I went around him as fast as I went around him.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Dad didn't wait to take us to a woodshed. It wasn't a woodshed, we got it right where we were.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to have many.
Yeah.
I had four. I remember them. Each one of them was unique. And Daddy whipped me. He whooped me. He said, son, I don't like it. And I remember the last time I thought that he enjoyed it. And I remember the last time I saw my dad whip me. And he left. And I happened to see him wipe away a tear as he left.
Yeah.
If mom and dad get back to discipline again, as the Bible says.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We look at the kids and we think kids are terrible today. They're not terrible. Mom and dad's terrible.
Yeah, true.
You're raising them to go to hell.
Yeah.
Because you won't even discipline your children.
It's true.
It's what God said to do it.
Yeah, it's true, brother.
Teach them to reverence the Lord. The fear of the Lord is, you know what the fear of the Lord is? It's a continual awareness of God's holiness, His bigness, His glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continual awareness of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also the awareness that He knows every thought of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right, brother.
And that He will judge me.
Yeah.
The Bible says it's appointed unto man to die after death the judgment.
Yep.
Yeah.
The brother of the Lord. I'm a child of God. God still judges you.
Oh, that's right.
He chastises you because you're a child of God.
That's right.
You're not illegitimate. You're a child. And He loves you. And He loves you. Why? He won't spare the rod of His discipline either.
Amen.
And neither should we.
Amen.
It takes everything to raise this child right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does.
If only we teach them to remember the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says in 13 and 14. We won't even read those. But in 13 and 14, it tells them to remember the Lord. Israel did not. A generation died, and that next generation forgot the Lord. They didn't pass the baton.
Amen.
Are you going to pass your baton?
Amen.
Mom and Dad's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
Amen. You're going to come to church when you don't want to come to church.
Man.
You're going to read the Bible and let your kids see something that's real in you.
Amen.
No matter how bad you feel.
Now, I didn't have a perfect dad, and I didn't have a perfect mom, but they wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. That's right, bro. Yeah.
And I remember my dad messing up one time. He got mad at a guy that stole some of his shrubbery, and he went to the guy, and he threatened to kill the guy, and he would have. Dad would have. And they got knew it, too. Mm-hmm. He had about 30 hemlocks on his truck that he took up and went right by our house. And I never will forget. Dad looked up, and he said, "Those are mine." He said, "That I won't call his name. Somebody might be here kin to him. I don't know." Dad said, "Ruby, wait right here. I'll be back." Dad always carried a 38 special with him. But he left. And he told me the story. He told Mom, and I heard it because I sneaked, and he didn't want me to hear it. My Mama said, "What'd you do?" And my dad's name was R.A. And he said, "What'd you do, R.A.?" He said, "I pulled up beside him and pushed him off the road." And he said he didn't have any trouble going off the road with the 38 special lady that he caught. Now, Daddy was raised rough. He brought him back. He told him, he said, "I'll tell you his first name." He said, "Tom," he said, "I'm going to go back to my house. And if you don't follow me," he said, "I'll find you and I'll kill you. I'm not okay with that." But Daddy would have done it. But when Tom come back, he got out and he was washing white. Boy, he wouldn't look up. He said, "Tom, tell my boy what you did." He said, "Mr. Oaks." He said, "No." He said, "You knew me as R.A. yesterday." He said, "Tell him what you did." He said, "I stole R.A.'s shrubbery." My dad looked at him and he said, "Do you realize that that shrubbery was his?" And Daddy did. "Every penny that come off of that field was mine that he put in a savings account for me. You stole from my boy, Tom." Mm-hmm. He said, "Tom, I appreciate you taking them up." He said, "I've got the burl out there and the nails." He said, "Pin those for me." And he said, "There's extra dirt there that you'll get with your hands." And he said, "You didn't take them up right and put a little dirt in there and we'll sell them." Tom did. But Daddy did something. He handed that gun to me and he said, "Tom, I've given this gun to my boy and you're not going to move a muscle." Mm-hmm. He said, "I want you to tell my wife what you did." He went up and got Mama. Brought Mama back down. Tom didn't move a muscle. I was shaking, you know. And I thought, "My goodness." And I'm serious. Not adding nothing to this story. And Tom got down and he said, "Miss Oaks, I am so sorry. I'll never do this again." And Mama looked at Daddy and said, "Daddy," said, and called him Daddy. Said, "Daddy, you boys watching." Dad looked at me and he had a tear come down. Dad wasn't soft. He said, "Son, I have stepped out of bounds because I got really mad and I'm sorry. Tom, don't you dare set a foot on my property anymore." And I don't know if he said this for me, but he said, "If you need something, I'll give it to you. But don't steal from me."
Yeah.
And Tom left. Daddy came to me and said, "Rudy, I got mad and I'm sorry." But he quoted a verse to me and he said, "He that provides not for his own, especially those in his own house, has denied the faith, and he's worse than infidel."
Right.
Daddy took that to heart.
Yeah.
He said, "Rudy, protect your family, and I will."
Yeah. That's right.
But I'll do more than just protect them physically.
That's right.
Man tries to come in my home to hurt my family, he'll not leave my home. Say, "Brother Rudy, I don't want to hear you no more, but you need to listen to the Word of God."
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
A man that won't protect his family is not a man.
It's true.
Yeah. Amen.
They come in and hurt my grandchildren, hurt my children or my wife. They let them go through me.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But you men that you'll do that in a heartbeat. You won't let your children see you read the Bible.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You won't be faithful to the house of God.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You won't let them see and let you lead the family as men. You ladies come forward. If you men don't, you got to do it.
Right. Right.
And you be strong. You got to strengthen your family in the last days.
That's right.
And we got to pass this baton. Listen, if time lasts, I don't know the time of God, but I feel it soon. But yeah. What if it's another 60 years?
Yeah.
We got to pass the baton.
Yeah.
I saw it in this church. I saw it in this family. There's others, I'm sure.
That's right.
We got to pass the baton. There's babies here.
Amen.
They need to know the Lord.
Mom,
Dad, you got to show them. You got to respond to the Lord yourself.
Yeah.
Daddy wasn't a shouting man. I never heard him shout in my life. Heard Mama shout one time when God healed me as a teenage boy. And that's the only time she ever shouted. But boy, she was a crier.
Yeah.
Daddy wouldn't even cry in church. Not at all. But he lived for the Lord. Everybody's different.
Anybody,
yeah, that's right.
I wish I'd seen him cry.
Right.
I've talked too much about my family. But we need to understand, his heads are bowed tonight and eyes are closed.
That's
right. I've told you how to strengthen your home, your family.
Yes, Lord.
I've told you how to live your life as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And you say, Brother Rudy, my children are out now. And I got saved late in life. Well, God's a gracious God. Did you know that?
Yes.
I've got a man in our church. He's 63 years old. He got saved 2.5 years ago. His name's Pete. His whole family's out of church. His wife had filed for divorce. And I happened to go by and God said, stop. I stopped and led him to the Lord. He got saved. And then his wife gave her heart to the Lord. Then his daughter, Samantha, gave her heart to the Lord. And Ross, her husband, gave his heart to the Lord. And then their two daughters, 18 and 19 years old, gave their heart to the Lord.
Amen.
The other daughter is now coming with her husband.
Praise the Lord.
You know why? He's changed.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise he's real.
Yes.
This is the 90.9. Has Bible verses posted on his 18-wheeler. He drives a truck.
Praise the Lord.
And you see the change in him.
Yes.
All late in life, he's passing the baton.
Man, thank you.
Dad, can I ask you to come to this altar and die to yourself? Mama, can I ask you tonight to come to this altar and die to yourself?
Yes, Jesus.
And say, God, help me to be the woman of God I need to be. The mama,
Lord.
The daddy, the grandfather, yes, the grandmother Jesus. That my children need to see.
Yes, Lord.
We won't ask for a song tonight, but I would ask everybody that possibly can. If you can't, just come to the front of the aisle, front of the altar and say, front of the pew and say, God, make me the man of God I need to be for my family, for my church, for my nation. Would grandmothers and grandfathers come? I don't know where your family lies tonight. You can make a difference in their lives. Children, would you come? Young people, would you come and say, God, help me to be the girl, the boy, the man, the woman that you want me to be, dear Lord.
Father,
we come to you in Jesus' precious name.